Right, so this is a songwriting lesson about writing another section. It's easy to come up with a section, I hope, because all you do is pick a key and take some chords out of the harmonized scale, and you write a simple chord progression, and there you go. So in this particular case, the student came up with, let's hear your thing, A, B minor, E. That's it. And that's very good. I asked her already, like, not to make a masterpiece, just something simple. So that's your song, right? We got our... whatever it is. Okay?
Yeah.
It's easy to make. But the question is, where do we go from here? I'm gonna call it an 8-bar, even though your thing is over 4 bars.
Yeah, it is.
Which is fine. I varied the melody A and B, did you notice? So it's really over 8 bars, like. Excuse my singing. And then. That is enough variation for our human ear to be like, oh yeah, this is a nice song. Too bad it's about, you know, my husband's in jail. I don't know. I don't know why I thought of it. I thought of Joan Baez at Woodstock, pregnant with her husband, who was also famous in being in jail at that time.
Oh, really?
I don't remember the details. So, not sure where my mind just went there. Maybe because the melody sounded like Joan Baez. Anyway. Wait, how do you come up with different sections? That's what this is about. Now, this is an article I wrote, I'm going to give it to you, on how to make up different sections. But right now, I'm just going to summarize. Way number one, use the relative minor. Right? We're in the key of what in this song?
A.
Yeah, and what is the relative minor?
Key minor.
G. It's what minor?
G.
Oh, you count on your fingers? Well, there's an easier way to do it. If you're looking at the harmonic scale chart, what Roman numeral is the relative minor?
Oh, 6.
It's 6, that's right. And what is that?
That would be not G. That would be F sharp.
F sharp, correct. So this is way to write a different section. Number one, use a relative minor. So now, write another section where F sharp is like the root, like the home chord of that section. You could still use any of the other chords in the key of A, but F sharp minor is going to be your point of resolution. I'll pause the recording while she does that, and you should, who are listening to this, should do that too. First, you should write down our starting progression, which was 1 bar each of A, B minor, E, and A, and that happened twice for an 8-bar section. Now come up with a different section starting on F sharp minor. You came up with F sharp minor, let's play through it together. 3, 4, F sharp minor, C sharp minor, D, and then A and E. One more time, F sharp minor, C sharp minor, D, and then A and E. So, let's try both sections together. All right. Maybe write it out if you want to.
Yes, I can.
All right, so here's our tune. Let's try it. 2, 3, 4. Isn't that sweet? Like,
yeah.
And wasn't that like super easy?
Yeah.
This is what I wanted you to say. It sounds like very musical and it's super easy. Yeah. That's all I wanted you to get out today. Lesson is over. Just kidding. We're gonna do the other two. We're gonna do the other two scenarios as well. But that's like, it's, can it really be that easy? Yes, absolutely. It, you know, and then how did I make the melody? That's another whole thing. But like, I know my chord tones. So not only do I know them by spelling them, like there's a bunch of theory and visualization behind all that. And that's a digression today. But just in a nutshell, in case you're wondering, like I know the spelling of each chord. I know that A is A, C sharp, and E. And what's your next chord? B minor is B, D, and F sharp. And the what else did you use? An E chord is E, G sharp, and B. So I know it theoretically, so I can emphasize those chord tones. In this case, I emphasize them by like landing on them and the strong beats. And then, but I also see that, like arpeggios, I see arpeggios on the guitar. Like for an A chord, I visualize this. So like, I don't even have to think about letter names if I don't want to. And then for B minor, I see this. And then for E, you know, I know I make it look easy, but I've been doing this a few more months than you have. You know, there's all that going on. So from, it's easy to make up melodies as you learn more theory and more music theory and more fretboard theory, yeah? But that's all a digression. The point is, your ear, yeah, you sing, your ear is very strong. You could come up with a melody easily for that, just as easily as I can. You just might not have access to all the theory, but it doesn't matter. You use your instinct, your musical instinct, which is strong. All right, enough of that. We're going to go to way number two to write a different section. So we're still going to have our main A section.
Okay.
The A, B minor, E, A.
Okay.
But now, this strategy is we're going to change the direction of tension and release. When you did the first section, A, B minor, E, and A, where is the points of resolution? Like, i.e., when does it go back? When does it play? When does it have A in it?
At the beginning and end.
At the beginning and the end. So yeah. Your thing, if you did it bar by bar, if you kind of did like R for resolution and T for tension, yours would be R, T, T, R. Mm-hmm. So in the other strategy, you're going to simply mix up the direction. You can still even have the same chords if you want. You can write other chords. You can use F sharp minor. You can use any of those chords still. Mm-hmm. But your thing must be different from RTTR.
Okay.
It could be RTRT, TTRR, TTTR, whatever. You need at least one T and one R.
Okay.
But other than that, do whatever you like.
Okay.
And we should decide whether you're going to use a relative minor. Let's just say don't use relative minor.
Okay.
As the focal point. You can still put an F sharp minor in it, but don't make it sound like the tonic.
Okay.
So I'm going to pause the recording. You who are listening to this, write another section to the first section, which is something different from RTTR. The student came up with the following. D. E. C sharp minor, and then D. Repeating. D. E. And A. I just did a little thingy on the A, but we'll call that all A at the end. All right. So now, what is your? How would you label that in terms of R and T?
A bunch of tension.
Yeah, the resolution's only at the end. So now you have all this T T T T T T R R.
Right.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first section, you had resolution right away, and you resolved it at the end. So you had like major resolution going on, and now you have major, not major tension, like we don't, it's not like tension like, oh my god, I'm gonna crash my car, or I gotta shut this song off, like not like that. You know what we mean by tension and resolution. Doesn't mean it's a good thing. Like if you had a movie with no tension, like everyone was just all happy and like, oh, good morning, oh, blah blah blah, you'd be like, this movie sucks. Like, it's so, you know, we need tension for art. So, but let's listen to the two sections back to back. So, just so you know, we're leaving out...
Which sections?
We're doing the main A section.
Okay, and then...
We should have labeled these. If you would label each of these like A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
We're only playing A and C right now.
Okay.
and we're just going to hopefully you who are listening play along with us. I'll have to try to remember what my melody was for the beginning part, and I'll come up with a melody for the second section as well. All right, here we go. 2, 3, 4. Very nice song, no bones about it. It's definitely like a song. It may not be hugely harmonically original, but most pop songs are not, they're pretty bland harmonically. We live in an age now where it's mostly about lyrics and melody, and the harmony is very bland, and so, it's not a big deal.
What's an example of a song that has more...
More harmony, like anything that's not pop, if you have something that's more like R&B or maybe like progressive rock or jazzy or whatever it is, but in the pop genre, it's all very straightforward.
Mm-hmm. You know what to expect almost.
Yeah, because it's not the focus.
Okay.
The lyrics and melody are the focus. Go back 100 years when all the pop tunes were jazz standards and harmony was definitely a huge focus. You know. So, we've very successfully and fairly effortlessly completed 2 out of the 3. The next one is a different harmonic rhythm.
Oh.
This is, you simply change the number of chords per bar that you had previous. So, in the A section you wrote, how many chords per bar?
Per bar?
Yeah.
One.
So each chord is getting 4 beats. Typically you do either 4, 8, or 2 beats. Now that doesn't mean when you write a new section, which you're going to do right now, you're going to write a D section. It doesn't mean you have to do all of 2 or all of 8 beats each per chord. But you can mix them up. Mix up. Do something different from all... Do it however you want to do it. Like, doing something different from what you had, which was all 4-4-4-4 beats per chord.
Yeah, yeah.
Could look like 2-2-2-2-2. It could look like 8-8-8-8-8, or you only have so many 8s. Or it could look like 2-4-8, you know, keep it in that.
Gotcha.
So have fun with that. And the chords can be in any order. You don't have to worry about tension and release. You don't have to worry about the relative minor. Just mix up the harmonic rhythm is all you have to do. You who are listening to this, do the same right now. It has a thing that's 6 bars long, and in real life that would be fine. But for teaching purposes, I'm going to ask you to make it 8 bars long, just because that's like a normal section length. So we'll break the we'll learn the rules first before we break them. But in real life, 6 bars is fine.
Okay.
So okie dokie, the student finished her D section, and we're going to play it just as is. Then we'll put it together with the A section. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Oh, my bad. 2, 3, 4. And then now we're going to make a melody of A and D. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't remember the original melody. Something like that. Now here's D. Back to the top. A section. To the D section. And then F sharp. And it sounds fine, like it's a perfectly valid, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but does it not sound fine, like that's a song, like A and D, right? Even if we never came up with the B and C bits. Mm-hmm. Any of these sections stand alone, stand on its own as proper sections, and they're all derived with completely different thought process. And as you're strengthen these tools, you can combine them. It'll just be instinctive. You'll just be like, yeah, I feel like hearing the relative minor here, or I feel like hearing more chords here, or I feel like changing the direction of the tension, whatever. You might not even have to think about it consciously after a while of using these. Any questions on what we did so far? Then we're gonna do a bonus section, which is not in the article. The article is called Three Easy Ways to Come Up with Another Section. We discussed each one of them. I'm just going to summarize. Relative minor, change the direction of tension resolution, and change the harmonic rhythm. E, the E section we're going to write right now, is modulation. Meaning we actually go to a different key. There's several ways to do modulation. It's a big topic, but we're just going to do a simplified version. Where one of the chords in the key of A becomes the new key. There's other ways to do it. Like I said, we'll just focus on that right now. So, let's do it intellectually. Like, I want you to pick me another chord besides A in the series, in the A harmonic scale series, to be the new key.
Falling to the C sharp minor.
C sharp minor, perfect. So then what you do is pull up your harmonic scale chart, the minor harmonic scale chart, and pull up the key of C sharp minor. And that's going to have different chords in it. This, what we're doing now, could be more for like a bridge. Because it's possible that if you go to a different section, like a new key, like too soon, that it could be jarring on the ear. But then not necessarily. I mean, there's pop songs that have key changes all the time. I just wish I could think of an example off the top of my head. She chose C sharp minor. You don't have to worry about... You should probably start with C sharp minor. Because if you go to a weird chord right away, that could... You could do it like that. But again, we're doing a simplified version. So start with C sharp minor. Write an 8-bar section that's in C sharp minor. And the C sharp minor is now called a pivot chord. I really should introduce that vocabulary, where it's common to both keys, both the C sharp key of C sharp minor and the key of A. And so the listener is hearing that as a gateway, and that's why it's not going to be jarring right up front, because it's a pivot chord. If you want to use other chords that are in both those keys, and there are a couple, I think the A itself and the E are in C sharp minor, are they not?
A and E.
Like like, you know, harmonizing C sharp minor scale. You got C sharp minor, D sharp half diminished, E, F sharp minor is in it, G sharp 7. By the way, the
it says G sharp.
I know it does. G sharp minor is the 5 chord of C sharp minor. We'll come back to that. And then A, and then you got B instead of B minor. So you got a bunch of chords that could act as pivot chords.
Okay.
So I'm only bringing that up is if you want to ease into the key even more smoothly, make us wait for the chords that aren't in A. Like use C sharp minor, F sharp minor, E, and A if you wish. Okay. But don't use them all and don't linger on them because it'll keep on sounding like A. And it'll keep on sounding like the key of A until
gotcha.
You tell us otherwise.
Gotcha.
I'm saying too much now. Just do it. One thing about the thing I said though, the G sharp in a minor, the 5 chord is listed as a minor.
Mm-hmm.
The 5 chord of G sharp minor or C sharp minor is G sharp minor. But in practice, almost everybody, you can make it into a 7 if you wish.
Okay.
And it sounds very common. Like if you hear. Sounds very common to our ear. And I just did C sharp minor, F sharp, and G sharp 7. Back to C sharp minor. Yeah, and it's a little more compelling than if I didn't do that. If I just did C sharp minor, F sharp minor, G sharp minor, C sharp minor. It's a little more flat. So compare those two. Here's without the 7. Sounds a lot more forward motion and then resolve, tension and resolution. All right, go ahead.
All right, cool.
The student came up with something cool. It goes, go ahead, 2, 3, C sharp minor, F sharp minor, then B for 2 bars, and then C sharp minor, oh, I'm sorry, G sharp 7, C sharp minor, and then B and then A.
Yeah.
So that's fine. It might sound, since you're ending on a point of tension on the A chord, it may set up a problem if you're trying to get back to A. So I forgot to talk about all that. We should talk about this. It's one thing getting in. We got in via a pivot chord.
Yeah.
That was common to both.
Mm-hmm.
And you could try and get out via a pivot chord. That's also in A. There's a lot of ways to do it. Or you could just do, it's called direct modulation, like you just hit the new key. We could have done that on the way in. You could also do that on the way out because the listener has heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rambling here. There's so much to teach. There's so many different angles to teach, and I'm trying to make decisions. So one way is you could wrap up your section on C sharp minor. So it sounds like there's resolution within that section. And then just go back to A at the moment. Let me just demonstrate that for a minute. If you had. And now you have. Next section. Whatever our first section was. We've heard it already, so we don't mind going back. It's familiar and we can go back to it. That would be called direct modulation going back.
Mm-hmm.
Another alternative is don't wrap up your, or wrap up your, either way, whether you wrap up your second, your new bridge section, let's call it a bridge, on the C sharp minor that you started on, and then have like a pivot chord, something that go that's in A, like E, for example, is the 5 chord of A. So that would be a chord that's common to both keys, and it's the 5 chord of what you want to get back to. So, for example, and we didn't notice that being so drastic at all. It flowed right in because. The last chord we chose was an E chord, the 5 chord of where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an example of a pivot chord on the way out. So I'm going to ask you to whatever you choose, whether it's tidy up your C sharp thing and then just directly modulate back to A, or set up some kind of pivot going back there. And then we'll write down what you came up with in a second. All right, so this is now labeled as the E section. We're going to play both sections just to see what happens.
Okay.
So A section into the E section. 1, 2, 3. Forth between those two. Earlier I said maybe this should be a bridge, but even if it wasn't, if it was just the second section, it flows fine. It's so sweet. Yeah. And so the reason we actually ended up like in the key of E, like in your E section, no pun, there's just coincidence that it's labeled the E section. I would call it a 6-2-5 and then a 3-dominant-6-5-1 in the key of E.
Oh.
But it's all fine. Like, it's all good. And so you have a key change. And by the way, that key change is what we call a neighboring key. If you remember the circle of fifths, A has 3 sharps, and it's at the 9 o'clock window. Or I'm sorry, the 3 o'clock window on the wheel, the circle of fifths. And E has 4 sharps, and it's on the 4 o'clock window. So those two chords are right next to each other on the wheel. And this is where modulation usually occurs. It usually occurs to what we call neighboring keys.
Okay.
Right? So you did like a very good musical smart thing. Even though you were going for a C sharp minor, but it's since it had chords in common with A, there's going to be a lot of commonality there. Anyway, this is great. You have all these new sections now. They all could be used. You could use all or just one or two. And all completely different ways of thinking. So this is very good. But while you were writing that last thing, this is the last thing I want to do, which is talk about pivot chords and how you can change keys. This is one of my favorite topics. Like, I love pop tunes that have more than one key. I Googled it just now and it said, Lady Gaga, Perfect Illusion.
Oh, nice.
And it changes keys at 151. So we're going to listen to that. But before we do that, I also thought of one that I had to sing for a rehearsal dinner. And it's Simon and Garfunkel's Kodachrome.
Nice.
And, like, excuse my singing here, but, like, and it's not in the original key. It's originally written in E, but I like it in C. So it's like, when I think back on all crap I learned in high school. Do you know this? And I wonder I can't think at all. So that's, like a one chord in C, and then 4, and then a 2, and 5. Now watch what happens. 1, go to chrome, give us the nice bright colors, give us the green. Now all of a sudden we're in a different key.
Yeah.
How did that happen? And it's so refreshing.
Yeah.
But how it happened was, it went to F, which is the 4 chord of C.
Mm-hmm.
And then A7, which is like the... I'm going to start talking in the key of F now, because it really modulates to the key of F. So it goes F, A7, D7. We don't know what's going to happen now. G, here's the clincher. G minor to C. That's to F. That's a 2-5-1. Very strong cadence. Like 2-5-1. Like, we hear that as very... It's like in jazz we do 2-5-1s, in rock we do 4-5-1, like, but it achieves the same goal if you hear that, like, doesn't sound much different from like a 4-5-1. So you went to, it went to F, mm-hmm. which sounded like the four chord of C. You went to A7, which was like in between. It could have been the sixth dominant chord of C, or it could be the three dominant of F. You went to D7, which could be the two dominant of C or the sixth dominant of F. Like, but it's not until this. So you have a bunch of uncertainty. We know it's going somewhere exciting, but we don't know where. And then it, the 2-5-1 brings us to home to the key of F. Okay. And then how do they get out of it? So this is, to me, this is interesting. You got like, Kodachrome, give us a 2 and 5. To F, 1 and 4, and then 2 dominant 5, 1, 3, 6, repeating 2 and 5. I'll let you go in a minute. 4 and 1 and 4, and now here's how to get out of it. Mama, don't say my Kodachrome away, and then it goes A minor. Instead of A7, which is in the key of C, D minor, which is also in the key of C, G7 instead of G minor would be in the key of F, but one little change, G7 happens to be the 5 of C where we're going, brings us back to the key of C perfectly. Like, listen to that again. Here's F, A minor. All those chords are in C, and then it brings you back effortlessly.
Yeah, wow.
So I love that.
That's a lot of chords in such a song.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And if you don't mind, can you stick around for one more minute? We're going to listen to Lady Gaga thingy. Apparently at 1 minute and 51 seconds, it changes keys. And here we go. A different section, it's just a modulation up a whole step.
Yeah.
It went from F sharp to G sharp, but how did it do that? Like, so yeah, I heard I heard this note. So I heard the 5 chord of F sharp, which is C sharp minor, and then it went to C sharp 7, which is the 5 chord of F sharp minor, but it's also the 4 chord, kind of G sharp minor, so it's a pivot, it's kind of a pivot chord.
Okay.
The 4 chord of G sharp minor would be C sharp minor. So, you went, it doesn't sound out. They put a little more tension on it by doing it. Anyway, that's enough. I wouldn't consider that a different section. I would just consider that a modulation. Most of the time when you use the word modulation, it just means the same section moved up, and it's usually up in whole steps. All right, I got to let you go. You did a great job.